There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Clarity, clarity, clarity of mind. 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 Clarity, clarity, clarity of mind.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Five I'm Andy. Sketch ideas. And I am Alistair George William, George again, Trombley Birchall.
And that is the way that you intend to continue. Hopefully
and then
you
one
still
more
will
William.
Be at the end of the yeah. episode.
You think I will be that for the duration, Andy?
You know, I think well, it would be a common courtesy, you know, to the listener
would,
to remain in character.
What do you think would have to happen for me to either have my name changed throughout this
yes.
episode, or for me to become a different person?
Yeah, okay. Well, I feel like, you know, the name change one can happen with our existing physical laws and our existing understanding of biology and that sort of thing. That's really just a sort of a paperwork question, right?
So, yeah, that was it's just something that's happening without fraud is occurring somewhere.
Exactly, or even just an administrative error in some way. Mm. Maybe as we're doing this, they're currently digitizing all the birth certificates, and fly crawls into the scanner as your one goes through and just gets smeared across all your details, and your name changes to something sort of obscure in a Nepalese dialect. Right.
Well, I do get a lot of like mail for. From like, you know, energy companies and things like that. One would knew me as Blazdair. I think
yep.
I get another one that's Alster. Things like that. So you know that's not, you know, people don't agree with there being different spellings of Alistair, even though that's almost all it is, that name is known for.
Or in another sense, they wish that there were more spellings of Alistair, it sounds like, those people. Like, they...
That's what those people want. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so there's that. And then I guess the other way is that I could become a different person. So I guess that could all happen internally, I guess, with an aneurysm or something like that. And... obviously I could find myself during this episode and I could take on an Indian name.
Are people still doing that? God,
I want everybody to know me as Rahaj Trombley Birchall.
Are we able to have, is it possible for us to have like a spirit guide, like an animal spirit guide, and it be culturally sensitive? Like, what kind of an animal would we, as Westerners, as a Westerner.
No culture can own an animal, can they?
I think if you want to have a spirit guide, you gotta go with a culturally appropriate animal beast. And so let's list animals. Okay,
the white pigeons.
The visually white. Or you mean, philosophically white. What animals are allied with the...
I thought pigeons, they've basically spread themselves and taken over every continent.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. Yes, okay. Pigeons.
The little brown bird. One of the whitest birds.
Yes, the little brown bird.
Little brown birds, that's that one's a white bird.
I feel like quite a few of the breeds of dog, I could be wrong about this, but they seem
Labradors?
Pretty white to me. Yeah, black Labradors, pugs.
There's people who know about the origins of all these animals getting furious about some ancient Tibetan peoples who invented the Labrador and pigeon pair.
They bred the pug specifically to climb mountains, really steep mountains, so that its nose wasn't always bumping into the rocks.
Into the Tibetan hay.
I mean, a lot of these dogs were originally bred for a purpose, you know? So you're like your Dachshunds or whatever were bred to go down rabbit holes and that kind of shit, right?
Were
and
they?
I think it's a shame that we've stopped breeding dogs for jobs. You know, a lot
get
of them are designed
in
to
IT.
Sit, exactly, to cross a specific type of terrain or to fit down a specific hole. And we need to bring that back. Bring back the
novel. The Dachshund could definitely pull a tray of coffees behind it, a little trolley, with your coffee orders for the office.
You're absolutely right. I mean, think about it. Any wheeled contraption that is currently pushed by a human could equally validly be pulled by a small dog or a team of small dogs. And I don't see why a coffee cart lashed to 18 Dachshunds couldn't be whipped through the office. You know how coffee carts are always coming through offices? You know that that current
the coffee cart could be outside with Malamutes, right?
Mm.
But they send in the deliveries into the office via the Dachshunds.
Sure. Yes. A smaller cart is pulled off the back of the main cart.
Yeah.
like a landing module.
You know, maybe there could be a Great Dane that takes it from the main cart to the smaller cart.
Mm, sure.
You need an animal that's got a big enough mouth to get over the cup but not touch the rim. You know, it's so because it's got to be able to bite it down.
Oh, sorry,
bite down on the paper cup part.
It's carrying it in its mouth.
Well, yeah, but only from this is the Great Dane,
right? Sure.
From the big cart to the small cart.
Mm.
He's there. They are loading the small cart without getting any sort of mouth on the plastic lid.
Alistair, you know what this is. You know what we've hit upon here.
What?
This is an entirely new genre of literature that isn't steampunk, but it's dog punk. Dog punk. And what happened was the Industrial Revolution occurred, but instead of steam being the predominant source of motive power, it was dog. You know, people took the dog that was popular in dog sledding. And I feel that there was a time where all the different forms of powered transport were absolutely equally valid, and they were all neck and neck, and any one of them could have leapt ahead, right?
And what if the Inuits who were using them at the time, and then had become the dominant power? And there was an Inuit empire.
Exactly. Maybe the earth cools a little bit more. There's a few more ice bridges. Naval power no longer has any meaning because your ships just get stuck in the ice.
Or the earth severely increased in temperature, and the Yukon and the sort of Northwest Territory of Canada was the only place that was temperate.
Yes.
And so they used their sort of dog trolley idea.
Ah, it's a trolley now.
Dog
not a
sleigh. Well, dog sleigh idea at first, and transferred it to the trolley, and then transferred it to every industry.
Well, see, what I like though is to imagine the golden age of navigation, right, with these great naval voyages, and instead of big ships, it's an enormous dog sled pulled by thousands and thousands of dogs.
Doggy paddling.
Doggy? Well, no. Pulling it across ice. It's a sled.
Oh, right.
Okay.
But I mean, also the ocean vessels, in sort of the unfrozen waters, instead of having people rowing in there, back in the olden days. They just dogs had rowing. Dogs that would play. No, the dogs aren't rowing. They're just, their legs are through the bottom. And they're just going.
Incredible.
Like that. And so essentially underneath, it would look like that the boat is some kind of millipede. Obviously, sharks and stuff like that would come and eat the dog's legs at different points. But
yeah.
But
this is good.
You know, the yeah, some would dog so punk. Dog punk. I mean, dog punk, that would be a very popular. I mean, it would be hard to stay off of the New York Times best list. I mean, top 10 bestseller list.
You're right. I feel this could very, very well transition into a kind of a young adult literature phenomenon, akin to your Harry Potters and your Twilights. And your
absolutely.
What's that one with the bow and arrow? Hunger Games.
And I guess it would sort of be set in a time when people mostly stuck to their own breed of dog, right? You know, and each culture just had one breed that they would do things with. But it's a kind of cultural one where then suddenly, you know, it's a Romeo and Juliet kind of scenario where, you know, a pug lady starts hanging out with a Labrador dude.
Yep.
Families are
nice.
Very unhappy.
That you're, you know, I guess you're sort of, maybe you're bonded to a breed of dog as a young child, and that sort of defines what your profession is going to be, and you go with that dog, or that type of dog everywhere, and you facilitate it. Symbiotically.
Each family has, you know, has their industry is linked to the breed of dog that family is linked to, and so when your daughter or son goes, you know, who is in this, let's say they're in sort of paper embossing, and that's really a thing that's better for, you know, small dogs like a
Chihuahua,
you know, sort of like a Chihuahua or something like that. They have small nails and paws and things like that make nice indentations in the in the paper. But then suddenly they start hanging out with some bull mastiff boy, and they're like, well, you know, his family is not going to, you know, bringing in bull mastiff, that's not going to help our paper embossing.
And your dogs aren't going to be able to breed. You know, there would be big ceremonial weddings between the dogs of different families, and, you know, to bond them closer together. And it would be outrageous. It'd be scandalous.
That's right.
I think that, but also we probably have bred enormous milking dogs.
Yes,
you know, that we would milk in great herds.
Andy, sometimes I consider that we need to write books. I know this feels like I never get around to reading books, but I think a lot about writing them. and I think this would be a great place to start.
Yeah. Dog punk is already it's already on the preemptive bestseller.
And exactly. The speculative bestseller list. And also, if we just pick a sort of Romeo and Juliet style format, we've already got a lot of the structure worked out. And then
the work
we
has
just
been
get
done. It's copy and paste. Change.
It's essentially
find
change
and replace
a few of the words.
Yeah,
when you talk about pulling a sword or whatever, you just put a dog in there.
Yes.
I'll pull the dog.
It's what Baz Luhrmann did with his Romeo and Juliet was he just turned the swords into guns. But the guns had the word sword, like that was the brand of the gun or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing
that.
We're
going to write dog. We're going to write sword. Or we'll write dog on the
dogs.
Side of dog. Just so that people know what we're talking about, because this is how deep into dog punk we are.
I love it, Alistair. Love it a lot.
Yeah. I've asked you this before, I think, but do you think there's any space inside a whale where you can start a fire like Geppetto or Geppeppi?
I don't know if you have asked me this before, but it feels like something we would have talked about. I mean, we know from burps, from human burps, that there is gas inside the stomach, you know, of some form. And we also know that it is possible to swallow large amounts of air if you choose to, right?
Mm. Well, my question is more about the space.
It's pretty cool being able to swallow air like that. Does it go all the way down into the stomach, do you think, when you swallow it? Because the peristalsis wouldn't be able to push it down.
Yeah, I think it hurts a bit to do it. Yeah, it's one of the weirder tricks that you learn in as a kid to like swallow air, and then you feel it move down a bit, and then you feel it move back up, and that's where burps come from, kids.
It feels to me that you're probably just pushing it to just below whatever the top flap is of the throat hole. Is that the epiglottis? I think you're just sort of pushing it just behind there, and it's probably just building up in the throat. I don't think any of it's going all the way down into the stomach.
It's still in the neck, I reckon.
Yeah.
You know, it's still in the neck, but, you know, yeah, I don't think it, but, you know, you could make a product, you know, because some people, I don't think they can fake burp. But you could make a product that basically holds a bit of air in it. So it'd be some kind of concave thing. Maybe it looks a bit like a clown's nose. Right? But once it's in your food pipe.
Right. One of those products that you shove down your food pipe.
Well, no, it's something that you swallow whole. or it's something that is big enough, like it's small enough that you can swallow it whole. So but it's mostly just filled with air.
Yes.
Right? So what's like the biggest thing you'll swallow whole is probably like...
Blueberry by mistake. Even that's getting like up there in terms of like ever, this is going to be bad.
Ever had one of those magnesium tablets?
Okay.
Where it's
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
You go, it's like, oh, it's about sort of 3/4 the size of my pinky finger. Or, you know, whatever. It's like, it's just some of those... Some of those tablets, you go, Jesus Christ.
What are you doing to me?
And then you can feel it go down. You go, oh, it's scraping the sides like that. Right? But you do that, and you take maybe two. And then once they're in, you know, the whatever's on the inner walls of the, your food tube, that's the element that breaks down that wall.
Yeah.
And then there'll be some particularly thin bits, and then it just releases the air, and then it allows you to fake burp.
Right, so it's a burp in a tablet, right?
It's a burp in a tablet, a fake burp.
So you can it's basically a tablet shell, whatever it is that they use to make the shell of like those Panadol things that are full of tiny little
pressurized
what
air.
Look like little hundreds and thousands in there. But it's then just full of pressurized air, and you can swallow it, and then you get a burp out of that.
Okay? Yeah.
I feel like there's a similar thing to be done with suppositories and farts, right?
Yes.
And
the industry is already expanding.
Because of the air pressure. But why does this exist? It exists because there are some people who can't do fake burps. And
don't you think they want to? As a
sort of a young teenager... That's the kind of thing that has a lot of cachet.
Absolutely. And, you could probably get it from prank, you know, like magic stores or whatever, you know. And also, you could do it so that probably you could have it like, man, here's when this thing blows up, right? This is when the ideas blow up. You could have it so that it's just got like purple air in it or green air.
Okay, now this is something, Alistair.
Yeah.
This is absolutely something. Coloured burps?
Coloured burps.
Have we talked about coloured urine on this,
podcast before? We're definitely gonna.
because at the moment, think about this. Urine has basically three settings, okay? One, clear. Two, bright yellow because you haven't been drinking enough. Three, red because there's something bad going on blood-wise. Right?
Just blood, yeah.
Yes, but let's give people control over this, okay? And let's turn it into a fashion thing.
Well, I mean, I think some nice, like, if there were some really, like, some pastel colors in there, like, some sort of, like, a pastel pink or orange or like autumnal colors. I think that would be so soothing.
You know what
soothing.
We need? If you could piss a rainbow, how popular this would be as a thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
That would be very hard.
You know, especially for the male, being able to, you know, you can get that real arc going. Okay.
Absolutely.
And if there was some way that there could be a little attachment, maybe that goes over the end of the male genital implement.
Yeah.
Clips on and then sort of turns the spray into sort of a sheet of water and then injects color at different points in that so that you do get that that rainbow spray. Or even one that just sort of is more like a sequential rainbow where it, like, as the stream continues, it changes color over time. Oh, this is even better, Alistair. Do you know about total internal reflection?
Not yet.
Total internal reflection is the optical principle that allows fiber optic cables to work, right? So a fiber optic cable is actually carrying a beam of light down a glass cable. And the thing that keeps the light inside that glass cable, that glass, you know, that very, very narrow strip of glass or whatever it is that they're using, whatever medium, is the fact that at a certain angle of incidence, if you shine something down the middle of a piece of glass, it just bounces off the inside and keeps staying on the inside, bouncing, you know, along and around corners and that sort of thing. And you can do the same thing with a stream of water, okay, or urine. So if there could be a little light, a little laser light, a little flashing light that goes inside the end of the penis, that the water can, you know, I say water, I mean urine, that can still get past. And then if you can maintain an unbroken stream, you can have an illuminated, curving stream of urine that shoots through the air. And people don't like you to piss out in the open. They don't like you to spray it around all over the place. They like you to do it in the toilet. But you're not always able to get to the toilet. And the way that you then buy the social license that allows you to piss anywhere you want is by putting on a little light show. Suddenly, everybody's crying out for it. It's no longer unacceptable. It's a popular entertainment.
Well, I think I know where this will be especially popular. Picture this. You're at the beach, and your child has been stung by a box jellyfish.
Ah. Yes.
You are distraught. The child is screaming blue murder.
Yes.
Right? A lifeguard runs over and says, I have just the trick to soothe this physically, but also soothe your mind.
Take your mind off it.
And then he takes his penis out and he twists on a fitting that looks not that dissimilar from one of those sprinklers that goes back and forth and has about 9 streams that go up in the air.
Terrific. Yes.
He begins urinating towards your child's leg. A whole rainbow of pastel colors comes out.
Pastel rainbow.
Your mind is immediately soothed to its maximum soothness. It is quenched by southernness. and your child not only is not crying, but is smiling and clapping. And asking to run back into the ocean to find the
chasing
jellyfish.
Chasing after the jellyfish.
And rub it all over his body. Do it again, mister. Do it again.
The Irukandji is waving and smiling itself from the shoreline, from the shallows. Everybody's laughing, including the
jellyfish.
The lifeguard. Just a little bit too much, but we're all still having fun. And that is the key. Everything's okay.
What
then
is
you,
this?
You look a little closer. You say that you see that his shirt doesn't actually say lifeguard. It says lifeguard. grow. You know, and it's a bit worn out. And he and probably hasn't washed his clothes for a while.
In the distance, you see another lifeguard running and shouting
waving
something.
Waving his hands.
Your lifeguard puts his stuff away, says good day to you all, and then sprints away.
Lifeguards, I don't think, have been tapped into for comedy enough, right? And I think, as are they a form of law enforcement? Because they do have the power to tell you to swim between those flags, right? And they do.
And I think they often have a whistle.
They do have a whistle, yes. And they do, I think, I probably get to shout at you if you swim outside the flags. And that feels like, you know, the very soft end of law enforcement.
They're like a volunteer army because a lot of them are volunteers. Occasionally at the beach, you do get the one who gets paid. I guess I'm thinking about country towns.
Right.
But mostly it's a volunteer army. And from my experience of being a lifeguard, you also don't want to have to go save anybody.
What do you want to do, Al?
Walk up and down the beach, take the four-wheeler out for a drive.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Can we take the duck out?
Is that the little inflatable thingy?
Yeah, little boat. Yeah.
Yeah, great. How long were you a lifeguard for?
I don't know, a couple of years maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I had my bronze medallion.
What, are you doing this like every week?
Not every week. You're on a roster.
Yeah.
You know?
Incredible.
Yeah, well, we could write a sitcom about it, and then when they say, well, why are you the right person to write about this? I can say, oh, well, you know, well, I used to be a lifeguard, and my dad, you know, obviously was the president of a... the surf club, because nobody else wanted to do it, and he also didn't want to do it, but he was absent on the night that they voted, and so he was the guy who had to do it.
No, he was press ganged into it.
Yeah.
God, those community organizations, you look at things like the Rotary and the Lions Club, and you just see them withering away as people die off, and you're like, what was that all about? You know? I mean, I'm sure they did good stuff. I mean, I know they did. But what was different about human character or human circumstances about 50 to 40 years ago that just made this the pinnacle of
community,
a certain type of person's involvement? Right?
Yeah, and instead of meet and organize, and like instead of, you know, organize a bus stop or a bench,
yeah, you know, a park benches, bench, little
or
little
a little
pagoda,
memorial,
a memorial, sure, maybe a tree planting,
yeah,
down
maybe
by
a plaque,
maybe a scholarship for somebody to go to, Canberra, and visit Parliament House,
I've been told by my partner's parents that as you get older, people do start asking you if you want to be involved in committees or, you know, have some responsibility for something. I think it's one of those things that once you get it, you then have to, you can only pass it on. You can only get rid of it by giving it to somebody else.
The only way to get out is to pass it on to somebody else. It's the ring, isn't it?
It's the ring, yeah. I mean, that's a funny idea, is the ring, but it's for community involvement. But it's the Lions Club.
Yeah, I think that's something, Alistair. That it's you've got to be the secretary of the Parents and Friends Association. And
because you watch the introductory tape.
Yeah. Write it down, Al.
I'm writing it.
Write it down. I'm trying to think what other parallels there are. But I think, you know, we don't need to lean too heavily into the parody element of this. We can just make a compelling horror film. Any,
today,
where the horror.
Yeah. That person's free time is gone forever.
Yes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Having to organize a fucking fundraiser barbecue.
That's the worst, isn't it? Oh, I mean, look, but I guess you get to hang out with people. You're probably having a couple of beers, maybe. Or,
I guess. You know.
But this is the thing. It's like, I'm, you know, I'm, my child is going to go to school now this first year, his first year. And I think that this is the beginning of where you have to engage with the community. You got to be. You got to go in. It's like they, you know, you got to do things for the school. They go, oh, we need some parents to do this because all the schools are underfunded.
Mm.
And so they go, oh, we need some parents to do this and to help out in this way and things like that. And so suddenly you're having to engage with people or getting the opportunity to engage with people who
getting
are not
the opportunity to have to engage with people yes.
to who are not in your curated groups of like, interests or whatever. It's like, I guess it's like neighbors or something like that. It's like people that you're forced to be next to because of just circumstance. I guess work can also be like that if you work for like a big company or something like that.
Yeah, they're just a kind of intimate stranger.
Yeah, and and I think this could be the first step for me towards the Lions Club.
Is
I could be
a
lion
for me
very
to reveal
soon.
That I've signed up to become a member of the kindergarten parents governing board or whatever that sort of fucking thing is.
Have you actually done that?
Yeah, I have. Me and Carly.
So funny. This is gonna be like that time that you joined the SES.
SES.
Yeah. You didn't join the special forces. You joined.
Yeah,
what are they? Servicey emergency thing. And then it's like, you go, oh, this is going to be so great. Help the community and things like that. Then you go, this is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many kindergarten. There's so many kindergarten scandals that you're going to have to try and bury.
Oh, so many.
You're going to have so much blood on your hands.
I'm going to have to try and bury. There needs to be like a Rotten Tomatoes or a Metacritic or whatever, but for life experiences.
Yeah.
That just, you know, people can go on there and rate it. And then before you do something like signing up for the member of a committee or something like that, you can go and look and see what people reckon about it and whether or not it's hell. And
yeah, I think that's good. Like so,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be attached to a company or like a movie or something like that. It's just attached to an activity.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, learning to play the clarinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, stubbing your toe.
I mean, you know, this is that show Review with Miles Barlow or Review with what was that other one? When they remade it in the US with Forrest something or other.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what they called the character.
But it had Andy Daly in it, right?
Yeah, and it was very good, yeah.
Yeah, apparently very good. I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, I've only seen a couple episodes, but it was very enjoyable.
Let's turn it into a website where people can review any experience.
Yeah, I mean, this might already exist, but, you know, yeah, review... Experiences. Right. Let me just have a quick look.
Well, no, that'll just
Jamie, can you get this
or
up?
Some shit.
Eh?
That'll just bring up TripAdvisor or some shit.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you been listening to any Joe Rogan Experience?
No, not recently. I mean, I have listened to it. I have listened to it. There is some stuff that I find that I've found interesting.
I probably listened to like non-representative episodes. They were ones around the close to the election, and I think they were probably not atypical.
Yeah.
And it was just a bunch of guys, and I got to say, I was amazed at how uninformed everybody seemed to be. it was worse than us.
Just yeah, I mean, they're not
constantly
political guys.
Throwing out things that they vaguely remembered from here or there, then correcting each other and then looking it up and finding out that they were wrong.
But you can see why people, it's like, you know, why people who aren't informed in things will like this, because it's like you get to hear the opinion that you would have, you know, the uninformed opinion, and then you go, somebody looks it up and then they fix it or
that's
not.
True.
But, you know, you learn along the way in the way that people learn. I'm not like a defender of Joe Rogan. I understand that there has been some problems, but I also have seen some of it and gone, you know, it's like, this is just an episode with like some movie star and you get to find out about this guy's career and things like that. Like, I listened to Oliver Stone episode and you go, oh, he's had an interesting life. And then at the end you go, okay, cool.
I don't even really know any of the controversy around Joe Rogan or whatever that may be. I understand people criticize the show for certain stuff. I don't really know what it is. Platforming people, I suppose.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like, I mean, I think he has...
It was kind of heartwarming in a way how little everybody, and especially Joe, seemed to have a clue what they were talking about.
Yeah. Well, and then welcome to this show where we are that with maybe like a couple of extra books. And I've definitely not read any books. Which is one of the things I've said in this episode.
Extra books once we've written them.
Jamie, look up whether or not I've read any books.
Does Jamie even exist, or is that just a rhetorical device?
Jamie is a guy that exists. I think that's right. That's mostly why I started listening into it, is because occasionally they would talk about stand up, and I'd be like, oh, cool. They talk about the process of stand up and things. And then I think Jamie, when Joe Rogan was starting out his podcast, Jamie was just some guy who was like, oh, you're starting to do that? I know about that kind of stuff. I could help you. And then it turned out, you know, he's just the guy. Yeah. And then he's just been the guy who does it with him. And now they're, you know, well, I know Joe's a multimillionaire, but I don't know how. Jamie's probably doing okay.
Good to know.
Anyway, none of these are sketch ideas, Andy.
No. But it's okay.
Wait,
it's
one, okay. Two, three, four, five. We've actually written down five things. But I mean, no, I've written down Rotten Tomato for Experiences, which is not a sketch idea.
I think that's absolutely of the caliber and of the category of ideas that we would write down on this show. I think that's a thing. I think that's a thing, Alistair.
Well then, Andy, we can go to the three words from a listener. And there's been a few people signing up recently. Can I say thank you very much to everybody who's been signing up? There's been, a bunch. You know, I say this as I kind of try to go to, recent activity on our Patreon. Look, we've had Thomas Ambrose, Maiton Lowry, Dustin Stewart, Jonathan Nice, and of course One.
These are
all people in the last 30 days.
These are all heroes.
Yeah, they're all heroes. Jonathan Jordan deleted his pledge this month.
Alistair, you don't read that out. You don't read that out. What are you doing?
Andy, like we've said, people come and go. We understand that life is in flux. A lot of the time,
like
I reckon
the tides.
I reckon Patreon is based mostly on people forgetting that they have them.
Oh man, yeah, yeah. I found some guy on YouTube who made some cool woodworking and machine tool videos, and I was like, oh great. And then I saw he had a Patreon. I was like, oh, go check out what kind of stuff he has there. And he actually hasn't done or made any videos for like 5 years, But there's still people who are like giving him money, still making like maybe like $100 a month, just from people who I assume have forgotten to cancel their subscriptions.
Yeah,
and
he's doing all right.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's our future.
Yeah. Oh, here's hoping. Oh, no, I think we're gonna keep doing this. We've decided. I think one day I came to you and I said, Andy, are we going to? Should we stop doing this? Is that? Well, I thought maybe you were implying it, and then you said, no. We'll do this until we die. And that might be this year when we
think.
That might be this year when we do the 300th episode.
Could be. God, we're going to be the first people, podcast hosts, to simultaneously die on live on the pod,
but also simultaneously live,
yes,
and die at the same time. You see?
See?
That's the only time we're really living is when we're in the 100th episodes.
It's true.
Do you actually believe that? Because I kind of believe that a little bit. Everything else, Andy, is just building up to it. Is just like, that's our holiday. I know,
yeah.
It seems like it's the when we're working the most, but I think it's our truest holiday.
I don't even really wake up. I don't consider myself to be truly awake until I'm 200 sketch ideas in. Then.
For you, this time it will be one of the great awakenings. I mean, obviously we did 200 sketches
right.
not last year, but the year before. Is it that long ago already? And then we made those cheese goblets. That's what we were making
oh,
as
God.
The 200th episodes.
I think I wonder what we're gonna... it's possible
yeah, go.
That we will go genuinely insane. Like,
I'm
not sure if it's possible to get post-traumatic stress from just coming up with too many sketch ideas. But if it is possible, I guarantee to you that we will do it for
yeah.
you.
Well, and speaking of insane, let's go and try and come up with one more sketch idea, Andy. And
okay.
This week's words come from Josh Ware.
Josh Ware.
Josh Ware. Thank you, Josh Ware, for these words. And there's a chance we've done these ones before because my list system is not the best. But here we go.
Thanks, Josh.
You want to guess what the first... Thanks, Josh. You want to guess what the first word is, Andy?
Yep. Cardboard.
No, it's illegal.
Illegal. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done these words before. But anyway, let's
yeah.
keep going. Chrysanthemum?
Okay, second. No, breakfast.
Oh, illegal breakfast. Illegal breakfast toppings.
No, Andy, it's a legal breakfast restaurant.
Alistair.
Yeah.
This is great. Illegal breakfast restaurant.
I mean, I do already love the idea of trying to think of what an illegal breakfast would be.
Sure. Sure.
You know,
I mean,
I guess it could have drugs in it, but that's not really breakfast, is it? I mean, I guess you could
maybe
call
for
a drug
some
dealer's
people.
House. I guess you could call a drug dealer's house that you go to after a big night out and you just need one more little bit. That could be a illegal breakfast restaurant. But
I suppose it's possible that you could make a breakfast that is so good that it is addictive. Right?
Yeah.
And
hash browns
with a little bit of oregano. But you know, like food is there a pinnacle? Is when does food cross over into drugs? Right? Is there not? Is there no sense in which drugs are just really, really good food? Tell me this, Alistair. You take a drug orally.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that that's not food?
Well, I guess you're right. And people try to say that, you know, having good food is the best medicine. And what is medicine if not drugs?
Do people say having good food is the best medicine?
Yeah, like they're like, well, you know, what you're putting into your body is what's, you know, building up your body's immune system and things like that, you know?
Yeah,
so
the gut,
You could be having medicine, you know, you're having medicine all the time by your choices in what you eat. And medicine is mostly drugs. And so...
Yeah, you know, there's also the angle of like, well, I'm sure that there are illegal breakfasts, which are ones where... You've used the eggs, say, of a bird that's endangered, Or even that's probably true. Just like most birds, you're probably just not allowed to take their eggs, I suspect. I don't know. But yeah.
You know, I guess even then, just, you know, stealing it from your neighbor's chicken.
Mm.
But then I guess there's also the possibility of a sort of a Footloose type scenario where you just go to this small town and you go there
on
holidays.
They've made brunch
maybe.
Illegal.
Yeah, or they've made either brunch or breakfast illegal. But brunch, you know, brunch can be funny. Brunch is probably the funniest of the meals.
What about this? I'll pitch another one to you, right? I start a back alley restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
And how this restaurant works is you tell me what food what's your favorite place to get breakfast, okay? What's your favorite order, okay? And what I do is I have a team of guys, people all over the city. And what I'll do is I'll get one of them to go to that restaurant, order that meal, grab the plate and run, okay? And then meet you somewhere, okay? And then you pay you pay 50% of... it's basically breakfast piracy, but you pay 50% of the menu price, okay? My running guy gets $5. I get a little cream off the top, and I do all of this with like an app.
Well, somehow. It's Deliveroo, but for people who walk out on bills.
Yes! It's Runaroo.
And Runaroo.
Yeah, they grab the breakfast, and they'll shove it into a backpack. They'll just shove the whole plate into a backpack and run, okay? And they get it to you, and, you know, it's like your parents said when you're growing up. It all ends up the same on the inside. So it'll look a bit messy, okay? But if the food's good, you don't care about paying for that presentation. A lot of the time at the restaurant, if you eat in, you're paying for presentation.
That's right. You're paying for service. You're paying for presentation. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't do any.
And
of
you're
that.
Paying what for the meal.
Yeah, that and of course the meal, the hidden cost. But you can get that. You can eat it out of this guy's backpack, right in an alleyway, and with your hands, and it'll only cost you like $5 or something. We do this at a scale where we're making cents off the dollar, but it adds up.
Yeah, but you're making good. It's 10 cents off the dollar, but they're not paying anything, so their overheads are super low.
Super low. We're just eating out of a backpack in an alley. You stand behind the guy. If the cops see you, he runs. He starts running. Okay.
Yeah, but the cops will be using this service.
You're just a person with egg on your fingers. That's not a crime. Is that a crime,
I know, but
officer?
You just start by bringing some of these meals to cops. You know, cops on stakeouts and cops on their thing, like that, letting them eat out of the backpacks. Suddenly they're on your side. They don't think the system is too bad.
Yeah. They don't ask where it comes from.
Yeah, and they don't want to miss out on, you know, free lunch almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they're in on the racket. They're not going out to call outs. And also, you know, traffic offenses bring in more money for the police department. They're not gonna start going to more call-outs to restaurants, which don't bring in money for the cops.
That's right. You know,
they
got
to go to the more profitable crimes. Sorry.
Is
go.
The perfect breakfast for this scam?
What's that?
Scrambled eggs. Because you shake that around in a backpack, it's only going to get more scrambled. That's value
right. You could,
adding.
You could just get some, you know, over easy eggs.
Yeah.
And then when they get to you, they'll be scrambled.
They'll be scrambled.
Also, just, I mean, that's a fun idea. And also, there was this, just the one with the town that's made brunch illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it would, the fun idea that there's like, you know, at about 11 p.m., 11 a.m., police like charge in to some cafe.
Yeah.
And they're like, or maybe 11:30, you know, that's kind of like, and they're like, what's on your plate? And they're looking for any crossover between breakfast foods and lunch foods.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, great.
And they go, look, a fried tomato. Nobody's eaten that at lunchtime. you know, but if you're having that fried tomato with like, you know, some laksa or something like that, you know, so maybe somebody's having some breakfast laksa and they're like, no, that's brunch. And then they put you in the slammer.
They bash you.
They bash you.
They're the restaurant and they shout We're... from one of the tabletops, no brunching.
And they just, yeah, it's the small town where brunch is illegal, but police violence is. Police brutality is the word I wanted, but yeah.
Yeah. We did it.
Andy, we did it. That's 268. All done.
I'll take us through the sketch ideas. Sketch
yeah.
Ideas, yes.
Well, we got Dog Punk, and so this this could be our first book. I mean, you're already working on another book, but I think we'll get this done before your book is done. And then we've got obviously Burp Tablet, which is, you know, for people who, at first it's just for people who can't swallow their own air. Then it's for people who don't want to anymore, because it's just a weird sensation.
Yeah.
But
love the sensation of swallowing a large tablet full of compressed air.
Yeah. That bursts in their neck. and then suddenly we introduce colored burps and this thing goes global. And then obviously we got colored urine and the lifeguard who pees on a kid who's just had a jellyfish and saves the day, but then you find out he's not a lifeguard. Then we got The Ring, the movie The Ring, but you're the secretary of the Lions Club.
I feel like all our scoutmasters when I was a kid were trapped in this exact scenario.
Yeah.
They'd started when their kids were members of the Scouts, which to me defeats the purpose of sending your kid to Scouts. You send your kid to Scouts so that you don't have to spend time with your kid just for like an hour on a Friday. But but then you become the Scoutmaster? That's insane. Now you got all these other kids as well. Anyway.
Yeah.
But then they'd started when their kids were there, but then their kids had moved on and nobody had taken over. And it had gone on for years and years. And then you're just trapped.
I mentioned it to my parents the other day. I go, remember that scout camp we went on? You know, and it was like, it was just like one cabin in the snow. Like everybody slept in this one cabin and the snow was so deep. Like it was just like, you know, it was like, I remember stepping into the snow and it going up to my armpits, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, I felt like he could have drowned in there. Anyway, but my mom was like, yeah, we used to go on your excursions with you guys on that so that there was no funny business.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, geez, yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next sketch is... This is just like an admission they made in the last month. And then we got Rotten Tomatoes for experiences. You know, what's getting your knee broken by a gangster like? I mean, a lot of people say bad, but I mean, I think that'll be really fun to get to read those.
No, mixed reviews. Mixed reviews. What's the critical consensus versus audience score?
There's one guy who loved it. Town that's made brunch illegal, and then we've got Deliveroo for people who walk out on bills. So that's, you know, I think that's an episode, Andy. I think we came up with is an episode.
An episode.
Gotta wash your ass. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. And I'm Alistair Trolley Virtual, and you can find me at AlistairTB on Twitter, and we're at 2 in Tank.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy. You can support us on Patreon. The link is down below there in the little clicky area with the writings. Thank you to everybody who contributes to this. Thank you to George, who edits the podcast for us, but probably won't be editing this one tonight. And so if the quality is bad, it's not his fault. And It'll be me editing it, and it'll, please address your concerns in writing to me.
Thank you so much for listening, and take care of yourselves. And you know, you can always download Magma from sospresents.com.
That's true. And take care of yourselves. If you sign up for the Patreon, you can listen to my a test recording of my 2016-17 comedy festival show Plenty, which is our most recent science fiction offering on
Patreon. Then also you can find an old sketch show we did back in 2011 before we'd even started doing the podcast. It's
before
on there.
We even knew what a sketch was.
Before we even knew.
See how little we had a clue.
Yeah. And just in some basement. All right. Thank you very much. Take care. See ya.
We love you.
Oh, we love you. I forgot how that ends. Anyway, see ya. And out.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.